Happy birthday, by the way.
Rick's birthday. I'm going to sing happy birthday tonight in church because I know you'll be here. Amen. All right. Take your Bible. John chapter 14. I'm glad you're here today. I'm all excited about what's going to happen today. Amen. Aren't you? Amen. John chapter 14. We hear the Lord Jesus Christ really telling his disciples in chapter 13. He tells them he's going to go away. And then he explains that to him. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." After he says that, Philip, who says, "Show us," so he is kind of the spokesman for the moment, he says, "Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us." He said, "Lord, if you just show us God, we'll be happy. If you just let us see God, it'll suffice us. It'll take care of things." And it seems as though the Lord turns on his heels and he says, "Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And now sayest thou, show me the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I spake unto you, I spake not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." And sometimes when we read things like that, we put a question mark on the next word. He says, believe me. My dad used to say, "Believe me, young man." How many of you ever had your daddy say that? "Oh, yeah, buddy. Whew. Believe me, boy. You ain't seen nothing yet if you don't behave yourself." Yeah. And the Lord says this to Philip. He said, "Believe me that I am the Father. And the Father in me, or else believe me for the very word's sake." He said, "Well, if you don't believe what you see, then you're going to, you believe me because of what you've seen me do." And I entitled this message this morning, "Hast thou not known me?" I run into a lot of Christians that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They profess him, that he is their Christ. They profess him that they profess that he is a Savior. But that's just about it. That's just about as far as the trail goes. They have not studied. They have not put their mind into knowing who God really is, and they have really cheated themselves. How sad to hear the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ question who he is and where he's going. Listen to Jesus as he questions Philip, "I've been so long with you. And hast thou not believed me, Philip?" For more than 3 years, day in, day out, Jesus has been with them. He has showed them his great power from God. He has raised the dead. He's cast out the devil. He's healed the sick. He's done the most impossible things that no man could ever even think about doing unless they're God. These disciples had every opportunity to see firsthand and learn his character. I know over in 1 John, if you turn there for a quick, 1 John chapter 1. "That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested," God's life, Jesus Christ's life, "was manifested," showed off. "And we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that," this is what he called him, "eternal life. So these disciples have seen everything. In fact, they have used the same power of the Lord Jesus Christ by going out and casting out devils and by going out and healing the sick and doing great and magnificent, marvelous things. Yet they've been doing this and they don't even know who He is. They've conversed with Him freely. They can ask Him anything. He's instructed them in the ministry. He has performed many miracles. In fact, the Bible says in John chapter 21 and verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. That's it. We have enough information in the Bible to prove that Jesus Christ is God. There's plenty of information in there. You don't have to go looking anymore. Oh, if I could just find something more. If I could just find it. No, there's enough information to prove that Jesus Christ, there's enough testimony of disciples, people that have been with Him, to prove that He is truly Christ. Back in the 1800s, a bunch of jurists of the England, they finally said in their conversation, let's prove once and for all, was there a Christ? Did He resurrect from the grave? Did He live again or not? They said, or no. And so they took the greatest jurists of the world and they went and delved in like a jury to prove or not. And this is what they said. This is the end of the statement, 1800. They said, there's more information. The proof that the Lord Jesus Christ was born, raised, died, rose again, lived, more information than Alexander Great ever existed. Now, of course, you go to the public school today and they'll tell you, you know, Alexander the Great was the greatest warrior in the world and blah, 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 blah. And they don't even hardly put a footnote that Jesus Christ ever existed. But the jurists of 1800 said, hey, there's more information, more proof that Jesus Christ was truly God. That's incredible to me. He said, for so long time, doesn't that sound like something very similar in the situation of the saints after the Lord went to heaven? Look in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need to one teach you again, which be the first principles of oracles of God, and are become such as need of milk, not a strong meat. He says, the writer of Hebrews says, hey, why do we have to keep telling you this little stuff? Let's pass on the big stuff. All you're wondering, is Jesus Christ truly, was He not? Well, Christ says to Philip, He hath seen me. He that hath seen me, he that has seen my works, hath heard my doctrine, understood my character, he that has given proper attention to the proofs that I have afforded you, you should without doubt believe that I came from God. John chapter 3, I'm sorry about this microphone, it's something that's kind of, I don't know, the girls tore it apart or whatever, but it's probably when I kicked that line coming across there the other day, Sunday, Friday when I was, you want to fix that? Amen. Thank you. John chapter 3 verse 35, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. John chapter 6, 46, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is God, he hath seen the Father. John 10, 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things have created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Jesus is not only Savior, but He's also Christ. He's also God. He's also King, the most holy sovereign, the head, the ruler, the potentate. He is in control over all things for the good of the church, for the good of the government, for the good of the universe. He is the mediator. He that may redeem His people and guide them to glory. That's who Jesus Christ is. Ephesians, if I take this, will that stop that?
Dot, dot.
Kill that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominions and every name that is named, not only in the world but in the world which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, yet you know not me, Philip? Surely you cannot be ignorant. You have seen me. You've seen with your own eyes. You have seen me as a man. You must know that I am God by the doctrine I have taught you and by the miracles I have done among you. And he said, he that hath seen me, that's what that means. He was not talking about seeing him not only in his physical eye, but also his spiritual eye of understanding. And they had seen the perfection of the Godhead in Jesus Christ. The perfection which are in him also, for the same thing that are in me are in him. And the same that are in him are in me. I am the very image of him. I possess the same nature as him. I possess the same attributes of him. I possess the same glory as him. So that he that sees one sees the other. We don't talk about much about this, unfortunately. That's why most people are leaving the fundamental Bible-believing churches today and go hooking up in some kind of cult. Because they don't realize that there are churches or whatever you want to call them, assemblies out there that say that Jesus Christ is not God. God said, this is my only begotten Son, whom I am well pleased. Only begotten. One of the biggest cults today say that Jesus Christ had a brother. His name was Satan. That's blasphemy. You know, it's sad to say that there's so many people in our churches today that have no idea what's going on. Many people were so excited about the Pope who came to America. Let me tell you something. They don't believe in the same God that you believe in. I want you to know that my brothers and your brothers died and were burned to the stake because we believe the Word of God is true. And we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we believe that we are priests ourselves and we can go to God without having to go to His mama. He said, but Pastor, do you know the first time he spoke in America, he never named Jesus Christ? All he spoke about was climate change and making sure that America took a bunch of people from another country that we don't even know, and we don't even know why they want to come into this country. I heard one preacher, he told me, he said, preacher, I think this guy's the Antichrist. Well, I don't know if I'd go that far, but he is Antichrist. You see, he can speak ex cathedra, which means he trumps God. He is the human voice of God in this world. Well, you say, well, no, Pastor. Well, check it out. Just check it out. You say, why are you knocking him? I'm just telling you that you ought to know who your God is. You ought to study your Bible to know what God tells you. He said, Have I been so long with you, and yet you hast not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Perfect image. If you want to see God, you look at Jesus. The words that Jesus spoke could not have been more clear than these. He that seeth has seen me and has seen the Father. That should be every Christian desire to know the God of heaven, to know the Savior of our heart, and to know that He lives in our soul forever. Oh, Apostle Paul, so wanted to just, that I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection. He said, I just want to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. To know Him means to appreciate Him. In your authorized version, King James Bible, the word know is in there 196 times. And they translate it from the Greek into Hebrew. In the Greek into the English, they translate it sometimes perceive, 9 times, understand, to learn, to come to know, to get a knowledge of, to feel, to understand, perceive, to have knowledge of, to understand, to become acquainted with. That's what the word know means. Oh, that I may become acquainted with Him. Oh, that I may perceive who He really was. This morning I got up a little early and cleaned the house a little bit and sat down and was praying. And I thought, God, You're such amazing God. How can I even say Your name? How can you even perceive who God really is? It's incredible. David said, it's way too much for me. I can't understand it. Oh, that I may know the Creator. Let me just give you a few hints about the creation. The vast universe that we live in, if you took a beam of light, which would travel 700 million miles per hour. Did you notice Great Falls? I mean, Montana, we're going to get to go 80 miles an hour. It's going into law. Say, most of you are saying, big deal, we're already driving that. We're still under the grandfather law, we drive a Prudence. Amen. And what's prudent for you may not be prudent for me. You scared the daylights out of me. But the vast universe, if we would travel 700 million miles an hour over 100,000 years, we would only cover the galaxy of the Milky Way that we live in. That's the only far we go. That's all the far you get. 700 billion miles an hour. Whew. That's about as fast as Josh drives. Our galaxy is only one among billions galaxies in our universe. To illustrate the size of our universe, I'm going to take an example for you. If I took a sheet of paper like this, your calendar. And let's pretend, let's say this paper is a model to illustrate the magnitude of our universe. A sheet of paper represents, this sheet of paper, that thinness represents how far it is to the sun. So this little piece of paper represents 93 million miles. Just that. Okay. Now I want to represent the nearest star to us. We would have to put 71 foot of paper. Stacked 71 foot. You got it? You feel little yet? To cover the distance in our Milky Way, which we call the Spiral Nebula, we would have to stack it 310 miles high. I mean, that's the whole God where I come from, brother. I'm old country boy. I don't get this stuff, amen. To reach the edge of our known universe, it would demand that we pile that 31 million miles high. Now remember, this is just from here to the sun, right? Just one. Let's take a piece of orange. Let's take an orange and a piece of sand. Can you illustrate that in your brain? Okay. Let's say the orange represents the sun, and a grain of sand represents the earth. A grain of sand would represent the earth circling the orange from here almost to back there, 30 feet. Okay? Pluto, one of the most remote planets in the solar system, is another grain of sand. And you'd have to circle that orange 10 city blocks away. Alpha Centauri, which is our nearest star, you'd have to take that grain of sand 1,300 miles. Okay, let's take the sun and make let's hollow the sun out, amen. If the sun is hollowed, you could put 1,300,000 Earths inside the sun. A star named Antares, if you hollowed that out, it could hold 64 million suns in it. The constellation of Hercules, there's a star, contains 100 million Antares. Doc, the largest known star is Epsilon. Could easily swallow up several million stars the size of one Hercules. And God said, let there be light. And God said that he made the planets, the sun to rule the day, the moon to run, to rule the night, and the planets, and the stars, and the Bible said he knows them, he knows the number of them, and he knows them all by name. I have so much to give you. And David said, in Psalm 8:3, when I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars that thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Psalm 147:4, be a good one for you to tell your children. He telleth the number of stars and calleth them all by name. I can't remember grandkids. In fact, when I was growing up, I thought my name was Hey You until I was 8 years old. Isaiah 40:25-26, to whom then will you liken me, God said? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things? That bringeth out their host by number, he calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Hey, Mr. Al Gore, it said, not one faileth. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else like me. Oh, that I may know him. as the creator of the universe. It's an incredible thing about our lives. We hear so much about lives today, our own human life. And Jesus said, David wrote, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I see some of you little ladies out there going to have your baby here pretty soon. And that little baby is going to come. 10 little fingers, 10 little toes, cute little rounded nose, cute little ears, beautiful eyes, sweet little lips. Some have fuzzy hair and some are bald. But the very hairs of your hair are numbered. Oh, that I might know him. Without him, we're in danger of death. Without him, we're in danger of being doomed. Without him, we're in danger of damnation. Without him, we're in danger of despair. John 3:19 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. We have so much. But we don't even know him. Shame on us. May we walk hand in hand with Jesus this week. May we read our Bible and beg God to open our eyes and to show us how that we can know him better. Father, I pray you'd be with us now, Lord. I pray you just help us. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, I pray if there to be anyone here today not know they're saved, not know they're on their way to heaven, that they could receive this magnificent God into their heart and into their life. Lord, we have so many times failed to see our God, who truly who he really is. And to think that God walked with man for 33 years and then was cursed at and whipped and punished and put on that cross and to shed his blood to die for us filthy human beings, that we may have life and life everlasting. It is so incredible, we can't even put our mind around it. But you promised us, Lord, that whoever believed, whoever said, dear God, I accept you, as one of the Bible prophets said, help my unbelief. God, today I pray there be anyone here today that accepts you as their personal Savior, that today would be that day. And realizing what a great God who loves us so much, that we care for this little mortal. And all we have to do is cry, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins. Come into my heart and save me right now. And right here. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I want to know that today. If what you said is true, there is a God that's huge. That is amazing, the awe of him. And he said, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Won't you receive him today? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You say, preacher, that's me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Will you please pray for me? Will you lift your hand? Pray for me, preacher. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts today. And realize what a great and amazing God you are. Speak now, Lord God, for thy servants hear you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to be up front. If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, I want you to step out right now and say, preacher, today I want to get saved. Let's all stand. Everyone's standing. You're here today. You're here today. And you're not sure you're saved. You say, preacher, that's me.
Boy, I'm scared to death about this thing. Hey, do you think a God like He, who He is, and says that He knows everything about everything? He knows the number of the stars and knows them all by name, knows about you? You better believe it. He's all-knowing God. They call Him the omniscient. All-knowing. He knows about you. He knows if you're saved or not. You can't fool Him. You can fool the preacher. You can fool your mama. You can fool your daddy. But you can't fool God. Why don't you take care of that today and say, I want Jesus to be my Savior. Why don't you come right now? You're here today and say, preacher, I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior, but I have not followed Lord and believers' baptism yet. Why don't you come at this time? It's time to come. Get baptized today. You promised. Come on. Make good with your name. You're here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time? And you know what? God loved the church so much He sent His Son for it. And God owns the church because He bought it with His blood. So I would suspect it's pretty important to Him. You ought to belong to a local church. Why don't you come at this time? Why don't you come? You're today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come? You say, preacher, I need to follow Lord and believers' baptism. You come. Come right now. You're here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. You come right now. Satan will try everything he can to cloud your mind, to get you to think certain things. But God's Word is proven and it's settled in heaven. And what God says to do, you're to do it. You say, but preacher, what about, it doesn't make it different. What about you? It's what about Him? What about Him? You make the move, God will do the rest. He'll give you encouragement. He'll bless you for doing what the Bible says. It's a promise. Father in heaven, I pray You'd be with us today. Help us, Lord, to live more like You and act more like You and be more like You. Help us read our Bible. May we trust in You. And Lord, help us as we come back tonight and speak to us, our hearts. Keep us safe, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.